I've titled our message this morning, Responding Right to the Word of God. Responding Right to the Word of God. We're continuing our study here in the book of James, and as we've opened this book, we have seen that there are several tests of true believers. And we've seen this throughout the first chapter. As we came to verses 2 through 12, we saw how we respond to tests or trials. And that reveals the true saving faith, a faith that is mature. And then secondly, in verses 13 through 18, we looked last time at how we respond to temptations. And those are evidences of a person who has saving faith. This is how we should respond to these different situations that James brings up along this chapter. Now in verses 19 through 27, we're going to see a third test of how we respond, and it is this. It's how we respond to the truth revealed in the Word of God. Every believer, when he comes to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, should begin to have a desire and a thrill to open the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, we've not only come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, but secondly, we also begin to know how to walk this Christian life, how we can bring glory and honor to the Lord. And so a believer should respond gladly to the Word of God. The posture of our soul should be inclined to desire to know God's Word and then apply it, live it out, obey it. And so this morning, as we look here in James chapter 1 at this concluding section, we will see that the test of spiritual maturity, of real faith, is how we respond to the revealed truth of the Word of God. Now, several of you can relate to newborn babies. It maybe has been a number of years when you've had a newborn, but if you've had a child, you know that that newborn instantly needs a couple of things. He needs food right away. He has a natural desire to have food, comfort, and to have all of his needs taken care of. That's the natural response of a newborn. And so it is with the child of God. It should be the natural response of someone who's come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ to desire to feed on the Word of God, to have a love for the riches of the truth of God's Word. You maybe have been saved for a number of years, and hopefully your desire has grown over those years for a greater love for the Lord's Word, so that it becomes an actual treasure to you. It's something that you value highly. It's something that you're living your life based on. And it should be a desire and a thrill to follow in obedience. We read in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." This should be the posture of the heart of a believer. A true child of God should have a desire in his heart to know the Lord through his word. The unbeliever, conversely, does not have that desire to hear God's word, let alone obey it and follow its instructions. In fact, the unbeliever sees no reason to hold to God's word and sees no value in the responsibility to obey the word of God, because his eyes have not seen the saving faith of Jesus Christ. But to the child of God, he values not only his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he values the Word of God and considers it the inspired, infallible Word of God, because in it he finds how to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And so to the believer, the Word of God is everything. James, as we mentioned, is a letter, and this letter begins to address different topics. James writes from his heart. And so as we've seen different topics, we've already noticed that in chapter 1 here, but we do see a little connection. If you notice back to verse 18, we'll pick up there as we ended the section last time. Verse 18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The word of truth, verse 18, speaks of the power of the word of God to bring us unto salvation. The Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, is how a person comes to a saving faith in what Christ has done for him on the cross of Calvary. Now James connects that transition to verses 19 through 27 as to how the believer is to respond to the Word of God as well. He says the Word of God is how we came to a saving faith in Christ, but it doesn't just end there. It continues in how we respond regularly to the Word of God in the life of a child of His. James gives us two directives that we're going to look at this morning as to how we are to respond rightly to the Word of God. Let's notice the first directive, verses 19 through 21. Verse 19, "For wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Notice the first directive that James gives us. It is that we are to receive the word willingly. We are to receive the word willingly. Now, you notice a lot of transitions as we come to these New Testament epistles. In verse 19, we see another transition with the word wherefore. He's transitioning to this new section. But notice right after that, James says, "My beloved brethren." What is James doing when he writes, "my beloved brethren"? Well, he's not only mentioning the fact that he's speaking to believers, to those who are in Christ, but he's also writing to them from his heart to connect to their heart. You notice the love, the compassion that James is showing through his writing. He's not just telling them to follow his intellectual thought here that he's giving them. He's writing to address their hearts, that they would respond with a heart to receive the word willingly. What does James do? He tells us three commands as to how we're to receive the word. Notice verse 19 again. Let every man be swift to hear. He tells us, first of all, that we are to be a good and careful listener. We're to pay close attention to the word of God when we read it, when we hear it, when it is preached, when it is taught. Now, this is a beautiful weekend that we have, and some of us have been outside maybe yesterday all day. Maybe you were outside as a farmer this past week in your fields, and you come inside, and sometimes it's the first time that you've actually sat in the entire week. You've been working the whole week, excuse me, and you sit down, and you finally rest, and then it's a little warm in here, and so the sleepiness begins to overtake you, and it's very hard to be swift to hear. It's hard to do that. But James is saying that the true child of God has an inclination to hear the truth of God's word. He has an eagerness, a readiness to hear the truth. He longs to hear the word of God. Why? Because the word of God, verse 18, led him to salvation through Christ. But secondly, the word of God shows him how to respond with a life of obedience to the Lord. We should regularly check our own spiritual hearts with the question, am I eager to hear God's word? And this has to be a regular check because we're prone to stray and not be eager to hear the word of God. We're prone to wander. We're prone to go astray. And James is reminding them that the first command as we hear the word of God is that we would be quick to hear it, that we would be eager, that we would be intent to pay attention to the word of God when it is shared. Do I hunger and thirst after the word of God? Do you hunger after it like you did when you were first saved? Do you thirst after it to drink richly of the truth of God's word? Or is it something that you merely listen to because it's a certain time during the week? Or you read it to just fulfill a certain allotment? Or do you actually hunger and thirst after the word of God? If you're a child of God, it's a natural desire to want the word of God. And James is saying, let him be swift to hear the truth of God's word. Notice the second command. As we receive the word of God willingly, we are to be slow to speak. Notice verse 19 again. Wherefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. The believer is to be ready to listen to the word of God. And James is saying far too often our thoughts wander and we begin to think about what we're going to say to someone else or what we want to say of what we think about something, and we're not really listening to the word of God. We maybe just hear it, but it doesn't sink into a listening point in our lives. When we do speak, we should be mindful to be intentional to edify other believers, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And James says if we're going to receive the word of God willingly, we must be slow to speak. We must truly listen, meditate on the word of God, so that as the word of God is preached, we would be thinking with our minds and our hearts upon what the Holy Spirit is showing us through his truth. Again, as we go to our private times of opening God's word, it's far different to just do it and read something and not get anything out of it. It's far different from that to actually listen to the word of God, to meditate on the truth, to think about it and dwell on the truth of God's word, so that the word of God, as you willingly receive it, is making an impact in your spiritual life. Notice the third command, end of verse 19, we're to be slow to anger, slow to wrath. As we look at anger is often confused with just a sudden outburst of emotion or just a sudden outward eruption. But anger is much more than that. It's usually an inward seething. It's an inward despising of someone else. And James is specifically saying here that in relationship to the word of God, it's an anger at what the word of God reveals about his own self. That as a person looks into the word of God, he should not respond with anger to what God's word confronts him about. As we hear messages, as the Spirit convicts us, it's easy to respond in disdain for what we hear. To hear the truth and respond in anger to it. To not want to deal with the sin that we've been confronted with in our own lives. And James says specifically here, when the word is preached, it will confront sin. It will address our own hearts. And we're to be slow to anger. Notice what it falls out to, verse 20. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What is James saying? He's saying that anger does not lead to a life that produces the righteousness of God. It leads to an unholy life. It leads to a life that is not pleasing to the Lord or is spiritually productive. And we see that further, verse 21, as he addresses these areas of sin. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, or abundance of wickedness, we could say, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James tells us if we're going to respond with these three commands of how we receive the word of God, then we must be mindful to put off the things of the flesh, we could say, verse 20 and 21. Put off the things of wickedness to receive the word of God with meekness or true humility. That it is important that we're mindful that we cannot harbor sin in our life and openly receive the word of God and allow it to impact our lives. James says, no, we put aside sin so that we can have the Spirit speak to us through his word, and we do so with an attitude of humility. In verse 21, the picture really here is taking off old clothing and putting on new clothing. James says if we're going to receive the word of God, we have to put off the things in our life that are not pleasing to the Lord, the things that are filthy, the things that are leading to an unrighteous life. And then we put on the righteousness of God. We put on the Word of God through receiving it with meekness. Now let's look at the phrase there in the end of the verse. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, or the implanted Word, we could say. That the Word of God has taken up residence within the life of a believer. That's the picture there. That the Word of God at salvation now begins to grow in the life of a transformed person. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. In verse 33, we read of the new covenant, this new relationship with Jesus Christ. And in verse 33, the Bible says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. At the new covenant, through saving faith in Jesus Christ, the Word of God is now written on the hearts of believers. And James in chapter 1 is saying, are we willingly receiving the Word of God? Are we doing so with meekness, with true humility, to allow the Word of God to take root and to grow, to take up residence in our hearts? Notice how James says we're to do that. We are to do it with meekness or humility. What is James doing? He's saying, negatively, if we're disobeying the Word of God, we cannot receive the truth. But positively, if we're putting off the works of the flesh, the deeds of unrighteousness, and we're receiving with meekness the Word of God, it will take root and grow and prosper in our lives. Notice how James says it will culminate, the end of verse 21. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. So we think of the power of the Word of God. We first of all notice in verse 18 that it draws us unto salvation. It's through the power of the transforming Word of God that we can see our need for Christ, that we recognize our sinful condition, and we come to a saving faith in Christ. That's the first impact of the Word of God. But secondly, the Word of God also impacts us through the process of sanctification. Not only in justification, but now to the believer, the Word of God is how he grows. It's how he matures spiritually. And remember, this is one of the thrusts of James' letter. But notice the third aspect, that the Word of God also does a transforming work unto our glorification. And that's the idea here at the end of verse 21. It is able to save your souls. It will be fully revealed in our ultimate eternity, our glorification when we are with the Lord forever. And he says the primacy of the Word of God does all of that. It saves us. It sanctifies us. It leads us to our glorification in heaven. And so the question comes this morning, how are you receiving the Word of God? How are you taking the Word of God? Are you seeking after it with an eager desire? Are you taking every opportunity you're presented the Word of God to eagerly take it and receive it with humility, putting off the things of the flesh and receiving the Word of God that it might grow and make us fruitful and make us mature in Christ Jesus? The first directive in responding to the Word of God, that we would receive the Word willingly. Let's notice the second directive this morning. We are to practice the Word faithfully. Practice the Word faithfully. Notice verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James mentions the second directive here, that we would practice the word of God faithfully. James says it's not just enough to receive the truth, but it must transform how we respond to the truth, how we live out the truth of the word of God. Obedience to the word of God is foundational to the life of a Christian. If we love the Lord, we should be obedient to him. This shows us the difference from someone who just makes a quick profession of faith and then goes about living his own life for himself. He probably doesn't have true saving faith, because a true believer evidences his salvation through a faith that is mature and is growing. He's responding in an obedient manner to the word of God. He's responding to the word in a consistent long-term commitment of a life of obedience. It's not just something that comes and goes. He's living proof of his salvation by his obedience to the word of God. Jesus said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." John chapter 8, verse 31. And so what does James do? He tells us in the beginning of verse 22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, because we would be deceiving our own selves." And then he gives us a picture to illustrate that point of someone who goes to the mirror and he looks at the word of God and turns away and does nothing about it. James says, in contrast, the one who receives the word of God and wants to practice it, he looks at the mirror of God's word and he looks intently and he longs for it to see it, so then he can go and obey it. And that's the illustration that James is getting across to his reader. That someone who looks into the word of God and he intently continues to look will be the one who is a doer of the word. Notice again verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only," verse 23, "for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." He's looking and he's not going to do anything about it. Verse 24, "He beholds himself, he goes away. He forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh," and the idea there is intently looking into the word of God, "and continues therein, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed." James is saying here very clearly that the person who responds to the word of God in obedience is one who looks into the word of God and he sees his own sinful condition, his own propensity of his heart, and he looks a little bit further, and he looks a little bit further. And he sees his desperate need for the Lord. And as he's looking into the word of God and seeing more of himself, he's also looking and seeing more of who God is and who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for him. And he's looking and longing to see who he is, to know him, to then take it and follow in obedience. Not just hearing the word of God, not just looking and walking away and doing nothing with it, but it's looking and looking intently and then taking a change of action by what we see in the word of God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." True believer responds in obedience to the word of God. His life responds to the truth of God's word when it's revealed. He receives it, and it changes his life. Notice verse 26. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. But pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James goes on here in verses 26 and 27 to say that the person who is truly a doer of the word of God is not someone who just outwardly looks religious, but he's someone who truly has a right relationship with the Lord. In verse 26, you notice again, he's saying he may seem religious outwardly, but if he is just putting on a front, eventually it's going to show itself. It's going to reveal the emptiness of his faith. It's going to show it through his tongue. And James goes on in chapter 3 to address the tongue and the response of the believer to the tongue. But James is saying the person who merely performs outward religious activities like coming to church or doing good things or even reading his Bible, but he does not obey and respond with a genuine faith, is a person who really is not saved. It's a person who's merely putting on an outward front. He's involved in religious activity, but he's not a doer of the Word of God. He's not someone who puts into practice in a life of obedience to God's Word. And so James concludes chapter 1 by stating that right conduct comes from a right relationship with Jesus Christ. That if we know Him as our Savior, we should desire to receive the Word of God and then be a doer, one who puts into practice the truth of God's Word. Notice again verse 27, James contrasts this one who seems to be religious, verse 27, by saying pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. He's saying this will evidence itself through his life. And James ends chapter 1 by saying he will be unspotted from the world, that his life will be different from the person who does not know Christ. How does that happen? James says it happens through the transforming work of the Word of God. As we hear the Word of God, we receive it and we put it into practice. As I was studying this week, one author made this statement, and I thought this was very true of the church at large. He says, "Our churches are filled with spiritual sponges who soak up the information, they sit, sour, and eventually stink." And I thought that was interesting how he put it. They take in the truth, but they sit and they do nothing with it. And James is making it clear that we are to take the truth and practice it faithfully. We're not just to receive the truth of the Word of God. We're to put it into action. We're to be obedient unto His Word. This morning, my friend, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? James says back in verse 18 that the Word of God reveals who Jesus Christ is and shows you your need for Jesus Christ as your Savior. But secondly, as a believer this morning, how are you responding to the Word of God? Do you take it with eagerness? Do you hunger and thirst after the Word of God, not just to receive it, but to go and to live it? It does no good to hear the Word of God or to open the Word of God and then walk a life that's contrary to it. James says, be obedient. Be a doer of the Word. Do you come to God's Word with eagerness that this is a transforming book, that by His Spirit in us, He shows us this Word of God so that we can put it into practice in our lives? Are we doing that? Do we hunger and thirst to know it and to do it? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that we would not just merely hear your word and leave unchanged. Lord, there's not one in this room this morning that should not be continually being changed by the Word of God. We pray this morning, if there's one without Jesus Christ as Savior, that you would show them their need through your word of their lost condition and the saving work of Jesus Christ. We pray also, Lord, for the believer perhaps that has lost his eagerness to hear your word and to put it into practice. Lord, sometimes we become sloppy listeners. Help us to be attentive. Help us to be eager to hear your truth. Lord, sometimes we can drift and not take your word very seriously as well. How we pray that you would draw us this morning to an attentiveness to your word. And may we put it into practice, that others would see the work that you have done in our lives. For your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.